Hoy me levanté con el ojo pegado. Ya miré el infierno, ya miré las noticias. Fosas, muertos, daño a madre.
Bienvenido, Eric García, a nuestro programa Espejos de Aztlán. Welcome, Eric García, to our Espejos de Aztlán show today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure to have a visual artist, also called, actually, a cartoonist, a revolutionary political cartoonist, a Chicano political artist. All that really exploded into my desk, and I thought, well, this is a great guest for our Espejos de Aztlán show. I'm very happy you could come to our show. We are talking about this just released book, Drawing on Anger, Portraits of U.S. Hypocrisy, which I guess that if you should portray the United States hypocrisy these days, you might need more volumes. But let's talk with especially to illustrate your work and to introduce to our listeners. You are representing many times the United States in your cartoons. This book is coming from 2004 through last year. What are the characters you choose to portray the United States and why?
I have a common cast of characters I usually portray in my political cartoons. A few of them would be Uncle Sam and Lady Liberty, who I often portray as these two opposing political forces, Uncle Sam being more of a conservative right-wing type of caricature, and Lady Liberty being more of the liberal type. And I often put them in different scenarios and how and see how they battle each other or conflict with each other.
They look like a husband and wife, some
right.
of their,
they're almost
their
like,
fights are like, I told you, were you the one who were doing this mess?
Exactly. I portray them as some type of domestic couple dealing with what's going on right now in all different areas of our national discourse.
As some of the critiques and reviews I read, and I agree with that your topics, the topics you are portraying, even though they are like in some kind of ear, they are not so related with the time. It can be like some kind of cartoons are like contemporary themes, even though they can have been maybe 10 years ago or more. This Uncle Sam in the 2004's Uncle Sam is the same one as these days?
Unfortunately, Uncle Sam hasn't changed very much. Many different politicians have come and gone, but the body of this machine that we live in, the nation of the United States, has not changed very much. You know, we have come through a liberal and conservative presidents and different regimes, but the bulk of it hasn't changed. And that's why, unfortunately, some of these cartoons that I've done in 2004 are still relevant to this day.
You are including in this kind of American drama and through your cartoons other characters. What happens with Justice?
The character of Lady Justice, this is an old image or a caricature that ancient Greeks developed, a personification of what justice would look like. So she's a woman with a sword and the scales of justice, and who also has a blindfold, because as everyone knows, justice is blind. And I often portray Lady Justice, unfortunately, tortured by Uncle Sam, who is usually on the opposite side of justice in many of scenarios that I depict.
We are having Lady Liberty and Justice as two women. Is that is there any reason besides the common icons?
It's easier for me to maneuver through issues with icons that are already identifiable, so everyone knows Lady Justice, and everyone already understands who Lady Liberty is. Easy for me to talk about complex issues with something that's already identifiable. It just so happens that more and more women's issues and women's rights and getting more further recognition. So I think it's more coincidental that they're more acknowledged in my cartoons than other times, I guess.
Como
si pudieras comprarte la felicidad.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking with a visual artist, political cartoonist, born and raised in Albuquerque, Eric Garcia. In these days, he is in Chicago. He also studied in the University of New Mexico and also in the School of the Art Institute of Chicago these days, working there as well. Since you were born and raised in New Mexico, I saw that you have some cartoons regarding New Mexico. Can we share the description of one of them?
For instance, some of the cartoons I often go back to, that I often think of creating new ones of, is the water issue in New Mexico. It's such an important issue, especially with all the droughts that we have and the global warming and how every year it gets warmer and warmer. So I often depict New Mexico as this desert-like place with jet fuel running in its arroyos and all the hard issues that we deal with every summer when it comes to keeping our crops growing and our drinking water clean. So those are some of the issues I often come back when I'm depicting New Mexico.
There are other characters that I would like to mention, especially if our listeners are curious about this book, Drawing on Anger, Portraits of U.S. Hypocrisy by Eric Garcia. You are using cats, pigs, and sheep in your cartoons in this kind of very clean inked trays. What do they portray, and for what did you use pigs, cats, and sheep? To mention some of them, then we have other animals there.
Yeah, I did not develop most of these caricatures. These are old tropes that have been drawn many centuries before I have. I'm just borrowing them for my own use of again, trying to tell these complex stories but with identifiable caricatures. So the pig is an old trope that many cartoonists and illustrators have done before to represent police. The fat cat that I often portray with a tuxedo and a top hat is to represent the oligarchs or the people who have all the money and all the power. And the sheep is another common caricature to depict people who are just followers, who are not the leaders, but people just going with the flow, who are being guided or misguided. In a lot of my cases, my characters as those are the sheep.
So you are very attached to the characteristics that we have as series. Yeah, I remember other cartoons from my childhood that the bad guys were there, those big, fat cats. I don't know why cats, but they're part of the cartoons history, I guess.
Right. I don't know exactly where the fat cat developed from, but it's been around for a long time.
In the case of New Mexico and in the case we are in this Espejos de Aztlán show that highlights our culture, also our contradictions, and trying to be aware about our own legacy, there is this joke on which we have Hispanics and Mexicans on the other side. What were you thinking, and can you tell us a little bit about this cartoon, and also to ask our listeners to imagine what you are describing, and what's the reason of this joke?
Yes, let me describe the cartoon here. It's a pair of Siamese twins. And they're attached at the hip. One of the twins says Hispanic on his shirt, and the other Siamese twin says Mexicanos on it. So they're attached. They're one, but they are different. Now on either side of the Siamese twins is two different Uncle Sams, and on one side, Uncle Sam is telling the Hispanics, "You're not like him. He comes here, he doesn't learn English, steals your jobs, and gets government benefits without paying taxes." Now, on the other side, the Mexicano twin is being told by Uncle Sam, "You're not like him. He doesn't even speak Spanish anymore. Just because he's been here longer, he thinks he's better and looks down at you." So this type of mentality is unfortunately very prevalent here in New Mexico, with the older generations of Hispanos versus the newer waves of immigration of the Mexicanos. And it's unfortunate because we're both related. We're both Latinos. We both come from the same place. We both have the same history and traditions. But unfortunately, Uncle Sam with this imaginary line has divided us through the border, has severed our brain into two different mentalities, right? So we're one, but we've been separated politically, unfortunately, because of the United States.
It follows that saying that in Spanish is divide y reinarás.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you divide people or a community, you can be a king. In this book, the title is Drawing on Anger, and diría como dibujando desde el enojo, mm-hmm. con enojo. What was the kick? ¿Qué es lo que te empujó to begin to draw this kind of cartoons that, I guess, on one side are very helpful to social justice, to advocate for rights? At the same time, is your own language. What did it trigger to you to begin with this kind of visual artwork?
I create this out of frustration and anger. I see a lot of these things happening around me, and I want other people to be aware of them and also to be mad about them. These are drawings literally made from anger, from frustration of the hypocrisy that's going on in the United States. And sometimes there are issues that are not given the spotlight in mainstream social media. Oftentimes there are overlooked histories that I want to portray, and I'm frustrated that people don't know more about them. So that's the galvanizing motivation to create these cartoons.
You are Eric Garcia, born and raised in the South Valley of Albuquerque. There was some particular story that ignited that kind of anger for you to portray or to do a drawing?
I don't think there was a specific incident, but I think it was the point where I realized my own history. I was always, went through mainstream school with the history of the Pilgrims and George Washington, but never really truly understanding the representation of the New Mexicans or the Chicanos that were here even prior to the United States. So once I started learning about Chicano studies and learning about my history, how it's even older than the United States and how it's overlooked and how it's the people that are portrayed in this history have been abused and whitewashed out of history books and forgotten. That really frustrated me, and it was my motivation to use my art in a certain way to get out these histories that need to be told.
Do you see your cartoons in a class of history in New Mexico?
Yeah, I think they are a part of the New Mexican history. As so far to say is they depict things that should not be forgotten. Even in my other work, when I'm not making political cartoons, when I'm making murals or installations or sculptures, I still reference back to the history here of the Chicano people when I'm creating, and in that way, hopefully, I'm continuing these histories.
We're talking with Eric Garcia, political cartoonist, and we can also say a Chicano revolutionary political cartoonist, as one of the reviews also was highlighting your work. How do you see the cartoons as tools to advocate for social justice, for change? Or are you thinking the cartoons only like, okay, something to see and maybe to think about? How are you thinking this in the relationship with your public?
Yes, it's definitely a tool. It's a tool that should be used for teaching. It's a vehicle for delivering information. It can also be a weapon for fighting back against injustice. So very much these cartoons do not work unless there's a dialogue involved with them. That's how they are teaching tools. I know many teachers often use them in their classrooms as examples or way of understanding complex issues through the use of visuals. So they are definitely tools.
Besides the content of the book, I also saw an evolution on the way you work from the artistic point of view. So some of the works from the 2004, I had this privilege I hope our listeners would have as well to fold the whole book and going from one first page to the last one. The trace, the ink, the shapes change. Is that part of your artistic evolution, career, and the way you grew through that, or you're also trying to say something different?
So this is more than a decade's worth of cartoons, and I try to pick out the 10 best from each year. Just like you said, it's pretty obvious from the first cartoons I was making to the very last year I was that's in this book, that the pencil lines, the characters have changed and have evolved, you know, in throughout the world and throughout the years. Yeah, my artistic abilities have changed as well. I've gotten more used to doing these each week. So yeah, it's evolved. My craft has evolved with the years.
I have another question before leaving. What did you put in the head of President Trump?
So everyone.
What's there in the head? We always wonder, but in any case, you draw something specific on his head. Can you tell me what is it?
So everyone has that question, right? Whenever we look at Donald Trump, everyone's asking themselves, what is on his head?
Besides what is thinking about.
Yeah, what is in it and what is on top of it? In the case of my cartoons, when I was first started to develop the character of Donald Trump, I had this this problem of what to do with his hair, because it's so funny. A lot of different political cartoonists have a ball with it. It's such a great characteristic to be played with. And I don't think I'm the only one, but I haven't seen many portray it as an actual creature. And I often place a dead rodent to represent Donald Trump's toupee hair. Is it hair? Maybe a toupee, I don't
Maybe.
Know.
Maybe. We don't know, really. Thanks, Eric, for giving us this interview, for sharing your thoughts and your work. Where is this book available? And also, we want to highlight that it was just released, Drawing on Anger. And this case, it was released by the
Ohio State Press, thanks to Frederick Aldama there at Ohio State Press with Latinx Graphics Collection. And you can find it at ohiostatepress.org, and you can be able to order it online through there.
Do you have a website as well?
My website is ericjgarcia.com. And you can find links as on the website as well.
Thanks so much, Eric, for coming today and for sharing your thoughts and also for sharing your jokes.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No, it's a pleasure to have here, born and raised in South Valley, Albuquerque, and having such a beautiful and wonderful career. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hoy lo que pierdes, ganarás después. Oh.